Don't you just love Northview? Don't you just love Northview? Turn to somebody and say, I love Northview. I really do. Amen. That is a beautiful sound. Maybe one day you can stand up here and listen. That's a beautiful sound. Hear everybody fellowshipping like they do. And that means the world to me. Thank God for the beautiful gifts that we have at Northview. Amen. The things that maybe others look over, we treasure. And that's what makes us who we are. Nothing, no other day in the week like Sunday morning. No other day. No matter where you go or what you do. And I just thank God for the opportunity each and every Sunday to stand here. My heart's kind of full today, so Greg, I'm sort of like you this morning. It's been a great week, me and the Lord, well, the last several weeks, as I've been praying and seeking the Lord for direction. I don't take it lightly when I stand up here, because this is who I am, this is what I am. No, nothing else really matters. With that in mind, I try to give you a relevant word. I don't have a whole lot of hours during the week, and I wish that could change sometimes. I wish I had the opportunity to be full-time, but you do what you got to do. But the hours I have, 4:20 the other morning, I was sitting in the parking lot at work, praying and studying, because my heart is broke this morning. I'm going to try to get this out. Greg, I love you now. I feel it's been like this all week. And I'll begin by this. The Lord led me to the book of Habakkuk. So if you'll let me get that far. If you can go to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet that God raised up in a hard time, a dark time. And all this came about several weeks ago. We heard the news on a Sunday morning of a little church, not a mega church, just a little church, just a group of people, 20-some people. We're having church, and somebody came in and unloaded 400 rounds into that little church. I took that personal. I always take it personal. But I guess I took it personal because it wasn't a concert, and not belittling any of that, because any time somebody loses their life, it's tragic. But I guess it became real to me because I thought about y'all and I thought about us. They were just involved in worship. They were just involved in having church. The town didn't have but 400 people. And 20-some people were in this church. And several lost their lives. One of them was the preacher's daughter. The sad thing about it was, he wasn't even there. Him and his wife were somewhere else. And a visiting preacher was there, and he lost his life. He was just visiting. And I'm like you. You know, I feel an obligation to give you a relevant word every time I come up here, because I can't be a lot of things, but one thing I can be is real. I can't do a lot of things, but one thing I can do is study and pray and find God's word. My heart broke. It reminded me back when 9/11 happened. Alan Jackson got a song that says, "Where were you when that happened?" And I thought about that. And my heart is broken today for America. But not just America, for our churches. But not just our churches, for you. Because it's important to me to give you a relevant word, to give you something to deal with this situation in life, this situation in our world. God is so awesome. He is so wonderful. He's so beautiful. When I went before the Lord, I said, "God, our people need direction. I need direction. I need to be able to counteract this situation." And you know, He's such a real God. You know, it may come to the point one day that someone puts a gun in my head and say, "You denounce Him or I'm going to blow your head off." I say, "Pull the trigger, because He's real." I can say He's not real, but that won't mean a thing, because He's still real. You know what I mean? And my heart's broken this morning. And the thought came to me, "Lord, I need some understanding in dark days. I need some understanding in dark days." And I said the same thing you were saying. Why is all this going on? Why in a church? In a little church. I mean, nobody even knew they existed till that happened. Why did all that happen? And I know you got them questions. And so the next several weeks, we're going to study Habakkuk. I don't know how long it's going to last, because I got something I need to tell you. I got something that God has given me to tell you. And we're going to learn through Habakkuk, because you know what? When I began to study Habakkuk, it was the same situation. Evil people were killing good people. And Habakkuk was a prophet that God raised up. Now, as you study the Bible, you hear major prophets and minor prophets. Understand, that does not say that one's more important than the other. It just simply means that the book that they are writing or a part of, some were major, some were minor as far as length. But everything they had to say was just as critical as the other. So God comes to Habakkuk, and Habakkuk's got, and as you begin to read this story, and I trust that it's only three chapters. So as you study in your personal time, I want you to study this book, because we're in a serious time in America, but we need to understand faith in dark days. God, we need to understand what You're doing. Because we all love Him, we all know He's real, but we just don't understand a lot of what's going on right now. Now, we do understand that God has not brought this on us unaware. I don't know how much preaching I'm going to do today, but I want to talk to you, because my heart has got to get this out. God does not bring things on us that we're not aware of. In other words, He told us in the last days what would be happening, and we're seeing that. He said that in the last days there would be doctrines of devils, seducing spirits, and people would believe these things. And He sees all this, but yet we know all that, but we're living in days where one writer said, if it's not nailed down, it's going to come loose. The Bible also says that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. You remember that? How many of you know there are warning signs in the Word of God? Another writer put it this way. He said, there's apostasy in the church, anarchy in the world, and apathy in the pew. People today are trying to figure out what's going on in America right now. The question of the age is the very same question that Habakkuk had. And it's, where are You, God? Where are You, God? Has God lost control? Or is it He just don't care? And every one of us are dealing with questions and answers and having no answers. Where are You, God? We are in the last day. Some people say it's science. Science is the reason that we're going through what we're going through because people are just coming unglued because of science. But the problem is not science. The problem is history. The history that tells us where the world is going. Not how the world began, but how the world's going to end. And if I do my job the way I'm supposed to do my job, I need to bring you up and make you aware and keep you abreast on what God is doing. And when I don't know, I have to seek Him. And I still don't know. And that's what the theme of this book is. And it's an awesome book. I did not realize how powerful the book of Habakkuk was until now. But Habakkuk had the very same problem that you and I have. We're going to break it down in three different categories. One is a perplexing problem. God, why is all this going on? Why are you letting all this happen? And then there's a proper perspective. God gives him a vision. See, it begins with Habakkuk sighing. He's sighing. I don't know, God. I don't know what in the world you're doing. And God, on the other hand, why are you letting evil people seemingly run over good people? And then there's the second part, he sees. He not only sighs, but he begins to see. And then the last part of this book, he sings. That's a big contrast there. But it's a perplexing problem. The proper perspective, God gives him a vision. God speaks to him during this time. And then there's the powerful praise. In dark days, God teaches us how to praise him, to endure what we go through. And all those things he began to show me, and I wrote them down. And I found this saying right here, and I wrote it down for you. It says, peace is not the subtraction of problems in life. Peace is not the subtraction of problems in life, but the addition of God's power in these problems. In dark days, God is able. Amen. And so we're going to begin to teach you that. Now, as we look at the book of Habakkuk, as I said, it's only three chapters. Now, why do we even have the book of Habakkuk? Because the book of Habakkuk did not begin with, well, we're going to write this book. It began with the heart of a prophet who was so heavy and semi-angry with God that he begins to cry out to him. And so, we're going to start in chapter 1, but for reference sake, I want you to understand that chapter 2, verse 4, is the theme of the book. So, let's go there real quick. Chapter 2, and verse 4, behold his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. In other words, he is exploding on the inside because he don't know what to do. Then God says in this verse, which is the dominant verse of this whole conversation, we call it the book of Habakkuk, but actually it's the conversation between God and Habakkuk, and we just have audience in it. But he says, the just shall live by faith. All right, God, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of hearing that. I hear that. That's a cliche that you church people talk about. The just shall live by faith. But how do you have faith in dark days? How do you understand faith? Much less have it. How do you understand, God? Because what I see is an empty church this morning with bullet holes all in it that they have said they'll probably never reopen that church again. I don't understand that. Is it okay if y'all have a real preacher this morning? Can I be real with you this morning and tell you how I really feel? I don't understand that. And God's aware that, you know, it don't bother God when I don't understand something because he's God and he's got an answer. Amen? He's got an answer. And I'm going to help you. As you help me, I'm going to help you as we study Habakkuk to understand the days that we're living in. So he said, the just shall live by faith. So I want you to understand that as I studied this, the just shall live by faith, did you know it's repeated 3 times in the New Testament? One in Romans, one in Galatians, and one in Hebrews. The just shall live by faith. One writer put it like this, it's not a time to fold up or give up, but look up and stand up. Amen. I want to be one that's standing in this last day, but I want to stand with some knowledge. I want to stand when I can't stand with feeling, because right now I don't have any feeling. I'm like you. How many of you be honest enough to say you got angry, you've hurt, you've cried? Your feelings are mixed. God, how can I perform to my optimum when I don't know what I'm supposed to do? And that's what's happened. So I'll break it down this way. We're going to study first thing this morning. Understanding faith in dark days. I want you to get this right here. Faith does not live by explanations. Faith does not live by explanations, but by promise. Thank you, Lord. So let's go to the first part of Habakkuk, because this is the part where he really is real before God. Verse chapter 1, verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Understand, he's human like you and me. He's seeing all this. The enemy's coming in and destroying God's people. Destroying God's people. Bloodshed is rolling down the street. He's seeing all this, and he don't understand. God, you called me to be a prophet. How in the world can I prophesy when I don't understand what's going on? Amen. You know, I love Northview because you know what? I thank God I go to a real church. Can we be real this morning? The second verse says, and this is when it really starts opening up, oh Lord, how long shall I cry? Now, when you break that word cry down, I said every word in the Bible is important. Every word in the cry is broken down into 2 different categories. One is to cry for help. Help me. Help me, Lord. But this is not the context that this cry is in. There's another context, and it says, it means to shout or scream. So the context that we're reading here is a prophet whose heart is broke and he's heavy and he's screaming at God. There have been a few times that maybe we've been bold enough to do that, and God is so wonderful and loving. He don't just wipe us out. He listens to our screams and our cries. Have you ever been in the midnight hour and have no answer for nothing, and you just want to scream out to God? God, I don't know what else to do. I'm trying to be as good as I know how to be, and everything I try to do good is turning on me. I see all these thugs running around. I see all these people running around and all these gangsters and all this stuff, and they're just living it up. And we're fighting every day to exist. Am I real this morning? Amen. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? And look what he says, and you don't even listen. How long shall I cry? He's screaming now. He's gone to that boiling point. He's saying, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? And cry out even, look at this part right here. And cry unto thee of violence, wickedness, all this gun shooting. You know, when I come up, old school. Some of y'all know old school. You had no gun. You beat me or I beat you. That's how it was. See, there are a lot of weaklings now. Anybody can tote a gun. Amen. Takes another thing, take your fist to bring somebody down. Amen. Wrestling 101. That's what we got this morning. Wrestling 101. But you know what I'm talking about. It's a different day. It's a different era. It's a different time. So I want to break it down this way, the two verses that I just read to you, because there's so much involved. I want to talk about the problems that Habakkuk had. And when I studied this, I began to understand, and God helped me understand what he really was going through. Number one, his problem was heaven was silent. It seemed that heaven was silent. I want you to understand, heaven is never silent in the fact that it don't know what to do. But even though God don't give you an answer sometimes, it doesn't mean he's not God. Amen. And it doesn't mean he's not going to bring us through. Let me tell you, when you get to the end of this book, you're going to understand things a little better than you do right now, because he's God. All right? Faith does not live by explanations. Let me go ahead and put this in your spirit. God don't have time to explain everything, so you have to just simply trust his promises. Amen? Now, we don't like that because we want explanations. I mean, we're going to talk about that. Heaven is silent. All right, the second thing, Habakkuk talks about earth's sinfulness. Heaven is silent, but now it seems like earth's sinfulness. So let's go to verse 3. Verse 3 said, "Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to hold grievance?" Why are you grieving me with this and then not talking to me about it? Amen. Why aren't you doing anything? CNN's doing something. Fox is doing something. All this stuff is doing something. They're doing something. I don't know what something is, but they're doing something. God, where are you at? I love you enough to talk to you like this morning, church, because I want you to leave knowing what's going on. All right? The sinfulness. So look what he says. He says, whew. And there's a lot of sinfulness in God's face right now. There's a lot of stuff coming out of the woodwork. And there's a lot of things being thrown in God's face. It's a mockery to God in America. God, where are you? And I'll be honest with you, sometimes when I see people kneeling in a ball game or whatever, I get fiery, fiery mad. Amen. I ain't talking about bothered. I'm talking about mad. Bulldog mad. Amen. Wayne County mad. Amen. And I'm, you know, sometimes I'm guilty of back of saying, "You see this? You see what's going on?" See, that's what the devil wants us to think, that God is hiding somewhere. But let me tell you one thing. He don't hide. Amen. He is the fourth man in the fire. He's the one in the lion's den, dare you to bite this man. Well, when are we going to see that? You're going to see it. You mark my word. You're going to see it. There'll come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord. Then you're going to see it, who is in control. Amen? His silence does not. Don't you ever think that silence means weakness. Because there's nothing weak about it. There's nothing weak about the God that you serve. Whether I understand it, whether you understand it, or whether or not, he's got a plan. And be rest assured, hell and all your imps, he's going to bring it to pass. You might destroy me, but you can't destroy him. Amen. He is God and God alone. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you give me just a few more minutes? Man. "Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to hold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me." Spoiling meaning murder. And violence. In that church the other day, a whole family got destroyed. One of those women were pregnant with a baby. Both of them got destroyed. That bothers me. That hurts me. And so I got these same questions. And it's okay. Are you all right to understand that you can ask God these questions? Here's a prophet talking to God. And God said, this stuff's so good, we're going to write a book about it. That way, when you're standing here and a church has got blown away in 2017, you'll have some reference to go back to and understand that I am still God. And I'm still on the throne. And I'm still going to make things right. And what I love about God, He takes care of people like that. I pray that they never even tasted death. I pray they never even knew, nothing ever. I just pray He sent His angels in and swept them away before their bodies were there, but they weren't there. How many of you know that? Their bodies were there, but they weren't there. God took care of that part. And He marked it down in the book. Satan, you're going to pay for this. And let it go on record today. Evil, Satan, and all your imps, you're going to pay for this. Amen? Everything He's done against you, everything He's brought, all the hell He's brought in your life, all the heartache He's brought in your life, you be assured He's going to pay for it. Tommy, He's going to pay for it, son. You stood, He's going to pay for it. He's going to pay for it. You might have forgot some stuff, He ain't forgot it. All of you that's been through some. Miss Teresa, you know what? All you, every one of you in this church, this Teresa, all the stuff that you've been through lately, trying to take care of two jobs and family and everything, and all the problems you've been through, let me tell you something. There's come a reckoning day, amen? There's come a reckoning day. How many of y'all, that's worth shouting for right there, isn't it? Amen. God's going to take care of it. Let me finish with this because my time's gone. Therefore the law, I'm going to try to finish. Now, Jerry said I have 4 hours. Is that okay? All right, let me finish this. I'm not even through the introduction. But I want you to get it. Verse 3. For the spoiling and violence before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. There are those that stand on the TV and everything, and they're stirring. My heart was also crushed this week because in England there was a math teacher. I'm going to tell it. Y'all going to come visit me at the jail? Yeah. I'm going to tell it. A math teacher. There were some girls in his room that done a good job on something that never alluded to the fact of what it was, but they did a good job. You know what he said? Good job, girls. Good job, girls. One of the little girls stood up and said, I'm not a girl. I'm a boy. And she went home and stirred it up. Did you know he lost his job? So that's what's going on in America right now. That's what's going on in England. That's what's going on. And as one writer said, it's coming. It's coming. That's okay. Y'all know I'm about half crazy anyway. And y'all know I'm redneck country brewed, country born, all that. I started to go put on our sign. I know it would have flipped out everybody. Guns, bring your guns. They're allowed. We might get some visitors like that, ain't we? And I said, no. My wife said, you're crazy. You ain't doing that. Okay. All right, I won't do it. Amen. Let me read this verse 4 because I got to get you one word here. Heaven's silent, earth's sinfulness. We'll probably have to come back to that. I got to read verse 5 to you and then we're going to go, I promise. No, verse 4. Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous, Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Is that out of the newspaper today? Is that not relevant right there? Let me leave you with this word here, the word slacked. The word slacked means paralyzed. And what he's saying here is that right is paralyzed. It says, therefore the law is slack or paralyzed, and judgment doth never go forth. These people seem to be winning. God, you just paralyzed. You just standing there. Earth sinfulness, morals, hate crimes. Vance Havner said, which was a great preacher of old, he said, sin that used to use the back alleys now flows down Main Street. Isn't that true? Amen. We're going to close right here because my time is gone, but it's going to be an exciting book because it's going to be where we are. I love you enough that I don't want you going around without questions and without answers. And I promise you we won't have all the answers, but we do have one answer, and that is God. He is the answer. He's going to bring us through no matter what we face. In our closing prayer today, I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will, and take somebody's hand. And as we close in prayer today, can we pray for that church in Texas? Can we pray for that church in Texas right now? As you pray, just breathe your prayer. As we pray for that church in Texas, I can't imagine being a pastor, going away and come back and all that's happened to your congregation. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for Habakkuk. I thank you, God, for a prophet that's not scared to reveal how he really feels. God, we just as well reveal how we feel because you already know us, but you allowed us and allowed Habakkuk to write a book so that as we stand here today leading the great church of Northview, we would have something to tell them. We would just throw our hands up in the air and say, I don't know what's going on. God, even though we don't know what's going on all the time, we know that you're an on-time God. I pray, God, that people will study this, and I pray as their hearts are hurting and as their hearts are bleeding and as their hearts are going through things, I pray you'll bring healing to their lives. Lord, in Texas right now, there's a building that's empty today, and we pray for that community. We pray for the lives that are lost. We pray, God, that you will send such a revival in that city that you would bring a healing, oh God, that only you can bring. We pray for all the ones that have lost their loved ones and the children. Lord, most of the ones that died were children. And God, we pray for them today. We at Northview pray for them today, that in some way they can find some closure, that in some way they can find some peace. Father, we pray this. Protect Northview, Lord. Keep your angels surrounded about us. Protect our seniors, O God, our young people, our middle age. Protect them all, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.